Thank you, Pastor Sugi. Thank you, musicians. You may all be seated. Welcome again. Welcome again. Good to see everyone here. All right. Yeah. Congrats. You made it to church. And aren't you glad we're not outside anymore? Because it's cold. But you get to sit in nice chairs. You don't have to sit on those picnic tables. But we're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord today? I am. I hope you guys are too. But welcome. Welcome to IFGF Pinole. For those of you joining us for the first time, we want to say what's up. Glad you're here in this place with us. I hope everyone was able to join us last week for our anniversary service. And hopefully no one's still feeling a little bit of the ramifications of the really good food, but the not-so-good aftermath. But hopefully everyone still has good memories, was able to take something away from that service, be encouraged by the word that was shared, right? Yeah. So I'll just give a quick recap for those of you who weren't here, because I thought it was a very good sharing by Pastor Danny. He, as Jess alluded earlier, that he was sharing about a call to diligence. Now, he read from the story of Nehemiah. For those of you who don't know who Nehemiah is, he's a guy in the Bible. And Nehemiah's, I want to say, claim to fame was the fact that he was the one who rebuilt, one of his claim to fames was the fact that he rebuilt Jerusalem's wall. And he focused on this story because he talks about how his diligence and what he did was basically fundamental to how they were able to rebuild the wall in such a short time and even able to do it in the first place. So one of the things they talked about was the fact that the diligent are prepared. Can you say that? Prepared. Prepared. So he was reading from the story of 2 Timothy, and he was saying that they're prepared to preach the word, be ready in and out of season. He was also persistent, that whatever circumstances came up, whatever things arose, he still kept trying. He had to work his way around interruptions, a way around things that came against him. And he was also perceptive. He saw what was going on. And in our own life, we have to be these things as well, as we are called to be diligent in our walk in our Christian faith. Right, church? Yes. So that was a great, I like a good anniversary service intermission. But today we get the privilege to wrap up 2 Peter. Woohoo! We are finishing the book of 2 Peter. So be excited. And before we were talking about Christ's second coming, if you remember from 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago and 4 weeks ago, that Peter is writing to us to continue living a life that is both honoring and glorifying to God by his grace. And he encourages us also to look forward to his second coming. If you remember, the theme is called Look Forward. And we can find hope and be encouraged. We can find hope and be encouraged to live a holy life that resembles what it would look like to live with Christ as we look forward. And today we're going to really hone in on this look forward idea that has been our overarching theme and kind of bring it home, hopefully, and we'll walk away with a greater understanding of what Peter was telling us in this message. But before that, we're going to take a moment and just remember that this is the, we're nearing the end of, not quite the full year yet, but we are in Thanksgiving, and we're going to start a new series next week, more focus around the lovely time of Christmas. But I just want to remember that our theme of the year is still greater destiny, and that we want to look forward and continue to have a reminder that the hope we have in Christ, and to be exhorted to keep moving forward regardless of the opposition that you face, that we want to live a best life living forward for Christ in unwavering faith, and to remember that our inheritance is for the future. And if we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, we can't help but continue to move forward in life. Amen? Amen. So I don't have that, do I? I do. No, I don't. But I want to read to you first, before we keep going, that you may remember these verses, but it's from 2 Peter 3:11 to 14, and it reads, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless and at peace with him. Can I just pray for us real quick before we start? Father, I thank you for this time we have to just listen to your word, to be encouraged, to be reminded of what you call us to do in this life as we look forward to your second coming, as we look forward to what future awaits us as you come back to this place and make it new again, Father. We thank you so much. We just want to give this time into your hands. May you speak to our hearts and our spirit. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. So before we get into it, I just want to kind of take a pause and talk real quick about what I feel has been really, there's a lot of things this year. I feel that this year we've had a lot of extra weddings or are going to have extra weddings, probably people who haven't had a wedding because of COVID, right? Last year maybe it was kind of really hard to get a wedding together, but this year there's just been more weddings. And for those of you who have not gone through that season of life where you're not planning for a wedding, just bear with me. We're going to try to explain things out. But one thing that any of you who have been married or are getting to get married, you probably can attest that wedding planning time is not a fun time, would you say? It's kind of stressful. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that you have to get ready, right? There's a lot of like little details, a lot of big details, a lot of little details you don't care for. Maybe that's just me. But wedding planning, right, is a lot of work. And I remember during my time planning a wedding, like there was just a lot of things that required my opinion, for which I had no opinion of. Like, do I really care if the flowers are green but a forest green versus a dark green? Not really. But the best part is my wife would ask me, "What do you think?" I'll be like, I don't have a thought. I don't really care. It's green flowers. No. But you need to have an opinion. So then you have to formulate an opinion. I don't know about you, maybe that's just me, but that's very stressful for me because I don't have an opinion. Now I suddenly have to have an opinion. And that opinion could be wrong. And it's my opinion that could be wrong. Can the guy say amen? Oh, there you go. He's going through wedding planning. He went through wedding planning. So right, like wedding season is stressful. And I'm sure my wife, on the other hand, is like, just give me an answer. So she's also very stressed because she needs an answer from me, for which I have none. Well, right? Yeah. So it goes both ways. Wedding planning is stressful. For those of you that don't know yet, be prepared. Wedding planning is stressful. Now you're thinking, why in the world do I want to go through this? Why don't we just go to the chapel and get married? You know, done deal. Then you after you get married, you go to your honeymoon and it's done. It's easy. We're done. Then 9 months later, a baby comes out. That's it. Why do we have to go through all this planning? Why do we have to go through all this stress? Well, I will say that one thing that makes it worth it, in my opinion, is for those of you who are married, I'm sure I asked Pastor Sugi this earlier. Do you remember your wedding, Pastor Sugi, from all those years ago? You still remember, right? My wife, do you remember the wedding? I hope you remember the wedding. Okay, good answer. But when you look back, You remember this beautiful day. You remember being surrounded by your loved ones. You remember as you're giving your vows to the person that you love. You remember as you're in the venue that you so meticulously paid for and you paid for that $2,000 flower pot next to you. You remember those things. And as you look back, you don't remember the price tag. I remembered, but you don't remember the price tag. You simply remember that wow, all those stressful nights, all those disagreements, all those arguments were worth it. There was no amen, so I don't know, maybe not. But you remember that it was worth it, that wedding was all that planning, all that stress, all those trials and maybe disagreements that came through, that it became worth it because you had that day where you get to spend with your most beloved and get married and between by you and God and your friends. And in the same way, in our Christian life, it's not easy. There are difficult seasons. There are trials. There are struggles. There are times when it is hard to get through. There are times when we're confronted with constant trials, constant things that cause us to stretch us, to form an opinion on the flowers. You have no idea what color you're even trying to put there. And for those who aren't good at visualizing things in your head, like me, when they ask you to put, do you want charger plates underneath the plate? I'm like, yes, but I have no idea what that means. But when you go through these trials, when you go through these trials, and when we consider, as we're going through those trials right now, right, when we consider our greater destiny, those trials become welcome because we know how great our inheritance will be. We will know how great that time at the end of everything we walk through, all these trials we go through, it will be worth it for that time when we meet our Father, when we come to meet our great inheritance with God. Amen? Yeah. And that was the picture I forgot to click. But when we read earlier, God's coming will be the world's destruction, but our deliverance. It says here, right, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. I want to take a quick pause there for a second. Earlier, after I preached in San Ramon, Kobab came up to me and he's like, you know, I was really meditating on that verse. It says, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth. Now, what that means is, really, right, we're looking forward to a time when Christ comes again, right? And when Christ comes again, that means that we're already at the end times, and that means that when he comes, those who don't know him don't get to be with him. And it was just a conversation that struck with me because it's really speaking to a time that when he comes, and we're looking forward to this time, but what about those people who don't know God yet? What about those people who aren't saved? And it was a very strong reminder to me that we'll talk more about it in a little bit, but to keep in mind that what we're doing is we're looking forward to this new time when God comes again, but that means that what we need to do is we need to be vigilant. We need to remember the people that don't know God yet. And that should be our main focus, is because we're looking forward to a time when he comes again. And that means that those people that don't know God, we want them to be saved. Right, church? Right? So going forward, it says, Peter says the coming judgment will bring destruction of the heavens and the elements. This language conveys the total destruction, right? The total destruction that God will bring on old creation. And nevertheless, Peter says that we look forward to this day and speed its coming. This is because as believers, we are not destined for destruction but deliverance. While the world will pass away, those who are in Christ will inherit a new heaven and earth where righteousness dwells, right? As I said before this, that we look forward to this, but that also means that there are those who won't be there with us. So let us always keep that in mind. And why would we look forward to God's coming when it entails judgment and destruction? Why would we speed its coming? Because as believers, we look forward to God's arrival because we know that as believers and those that will come to know the Lord, that we have a different destiny than those who don't know God. God's coming will be the world's destruction, but our deliverance and our future inheritance. So no matter how hard your life might be right now, your future destiny is secure. You may not have much now. You may be going through a lot. You may be going through trials after trials. But you have a future inheritance that far surpasses any earthly treasure. And as God's children, you will inherit that new earth and that new heaven. For those of you who have ever lived in my house, and there's a couple of you, you know that we like to watch movies, right? You know, Nia, do you remember that? You lived with us for a bit. We like to watch movies. I don't know, you weren't really home either when we lived with us a lot, but if you, for a time you were with us, we like to watch movies in our house. And who here likes watching movies? Yeah, yeah? Who here likes watching, like suspense movies? You know, the ones where, like, you're on the edge of your seat and, like, you kind of get, like, nervous watching it, like, what's going to happen? Do you guys like watching those? You guys more of a rom-com kind of thing? No? Okay, well, we like watching suspense movies. I say we because not necessarily me, but the greater we, the house that votes. We like to watch suspense movies. But the one thing that I don't quite understand is so suspense movies is like you're kind of on the edge of your seat, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen. And the plot is very thick. But my wife doesn't, she likes watching suspense movies, but she doesn't like not knowing what's going to happen. So she's totally okay looking forward ahead and finding the spoilers and knowing what's going to happen. And then still watching the suspense movie. So I don't know if you guys like the suspense movie for the fact of you don't know what's coming or and you know you're kind of like nervous, like, oh, is he gonna die? Is the zombie behind the door? You're on the suspense, but she likes to have spoilers. Who likes spoilers? There you go. And then if you ever watch with her, be careful because she likes giving spoilers as well. So she'll not just want to know the spoilers, but she'll tell you what's going to happen. So FYI, just close your ears when you're watching with her. But when we watch movies, you know, like she likes to know ahead of time. She likes to know what happens. I purposely don't. I actually don't. But the way I want to talk about that is think of our life as a movie. If my life was a movie, I think it'd be a comedy. I think it's fun to be in a comedy, you know, just more than, like, I don't want to be in a horror movie because everyone dies in the horror movie, so that's not fun. Action movie, I don't quite have the bod for an action movie, but I could most definitely star in a comedy movie. But we live a life that, if it resembles a movie, the best part about that, right, especially in a suspense movie, is we know the ending. We have that spoiler. My wife is screaming for joy because she knows what's going to happen. She has the spoiler. She knows what lies in the future. She knows what happens in plot 5. The main character does not die. She is saved. And that's the way we live our lives. We should be living our lives. We know the script ahead of time. We know the ending. We may not know every single detail in the middle, but we know the spoilers. They don't die in the end. With the side characters, we're not so sure. But at least we know, us as the main character of our movie, we won't die. Because why? Because we know what is happening. We know the end. While everything may look like it's falling apart, as if we're in the final act of a suspenseful movie, we know that the resolution is coming. And in that resolution, our inheritance awaits, our future destiny with God, the fact that he will come again and he will make the world new again, it lies in the waiting. So don't worry if you're in that movie in life where everything feels like, oh my goodness, this is the climax of the movie and we're not going to make it. Know that the ending is already set for you. Know that you have the spoiler. You've got the script. Are you secure in your destiny? Do you go through life knowing how your story ends? Or do you go through life with uncertainty? Are you preoccupied with just your present troubles, what's going on today, what's the struggle you're facing today, or are your eyes fixed on the good things that lie ahead because you have that script? If we keep going, Peter encourages and says to us that faith gives us the power to press on. Faith gives us the power to press on. In verse 13 it says, But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. In this verse, Peter reminds his audience that we look forward to a new heaven and new earth. According to Peter, this hope is neither imaginary nor mere wishful thinking. This hope is grounded in God's promise. It's grounded in what? In God's promise. Thus, Peter is reminding his audience to stand firm on God's promise. You guys remember we spent a whole, not series, but we spent a good chunk of time talking about God's promise, right? There are like 8,000 plus promises that God has given, and they all have come to pass. And our hope for the future is grounded in those promises. And Peter knows that us, all of us here, his audience, that we need to persevere. Right, our life is not always easy, that we need to persevere through opposition. So he reminds us to put our hope in God's promise. Peter hopes that by reminding us of God's promise that we will be encouraged to keep moving forward. And this verse reminds us that faith gives us the power to press on. If we stop progressing in our spiritual journey, maybe it's because we stop putting hope in his promise. Maybe we stop putting hope and faith in God. It could be that we are like the seed that was thrown on the rocky grounds and we just couldn't get our roots in to hold on to his promises, to hold on to his faith. How often do we get discouraged in our life because of the trials? Oh, I just failed that last test. What a struggle. Oh, I can't make rent this month. Oh, I had another fight with my parents. Oh, another fight with my spouse. What kind of hardship after hardship in life do we encounter? What's our response to such things? Do we withdraw into ourselves? Do we go into depression? just choose to not turn to God? Do we just choose to turn to other things that may give temporary relief? If we want to revitalize our faith for those times, if we want to grow our faith when those struggles come, what we need to do is we need to start exercising our faith, start working our faith. One of the things is by knowing that his promise is for us. Another thing is comes that was from our last week in the service that Pastor Dan was talking about was, I really love this, it's the word ibadah. If you guys remember ibadah. Ibadah is worship, devotion, duty. It's to, he described it, to show up because it's inconvenient as a service to the Lord. To show up here, and all of you are here showing up. So that in itself, in my opinion, is already an act of faith. That you're showing up amidst your struggles, amidst your trials, that you persevered. You showed up to church. You showed up to be in this place. For one, that's a victory in of itself. You showed up. You're here. And for those of you who come and you're struggling, one way I love to put it is, if you just choose to not show up to church, not to show up to small group, how can God use the people around you to encourage you? How can God use the praise and worship to others? How can God use the sermon to speak a word that could be for your very situation? Ibadah. I think when we show these things, it's a great way to exercise our faith. And God, I believe, will honor that we are exercising our faith in such a time as that. Because if we don't do these little things and even just starting out by showing up here, and you're already here, that's a way to use our faith to press on, to move forward, to look forward. I promised Bernard I put a picture of him in my sermon. So here it is. You're welcome, Bernard. But this is another great example is if we go to the gym, for those of you who've ever gone to the gym, if you go to the gym only once a month, does that do anything for you? A little bit. It gets you that picture there, and that's it. It just gets you one picture, everyone was there, and then that's it. But if you go to the gym once a month, that's not gonna do much for you, right? You get there, you maybe lift one weight, and then like, whew, that's it. Yeah, we did it. We're done. But if you only go once, you're not gonna get anywhere. No curls, no girls. Come on, guys. If you go to the gym just once, it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna work. So what we have to do is we have to regularly train our muscles. Right now, I'm shooting being the key word, for 3 times a week. That's like my bare minimum. If I get 4, that's like butter on top. But I'm shooting for 3 times a week. And the same way, you should too. One, at the very minimum, show up to Sunday service. Number two, show up to small groups, care group. If you're not part of a care group, come talk to me after. We'll get you plugged into a care group. Number three, you're like, what else is there? There's only church and there's only care group. But number three, be intentional. Go out with someone in your care group. Go build a connection and enhance your community. Reach out to someone who maybe doesn't get reached out to normally. That's my opinion. That's bare minimum 3 times a week, guys. Easy. Four times is better. But when we do these things, when we exercise our faith, and in that it's just being faithful. It's just showing up. That's very simple. Right? Showing up, being faithful in that sense, that when we exercise our faith daily, when you're confronted with a problem, your immediate response won't be to go into those negative influence, won't be to huddle back, but it'll know that, no, you can put your faith that God will be there for you. God will encourage. God will help me through my problem, through my issue, and that he will give us the promises we need to carry on. Amen? Amen, amen. I hope that's an amen. Lastly, Peter reminds us that to look forward and to never look back. He says here in verse 14, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." Peter commands his audience to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace. And he reminds us that the Christian life consists of looking forward. In other words, the Christian life is about progressing in the things of God. Our goal is to move forward in sanctification, and our eyes are fixed on God's promises. For the Christian, turning back is not an option. We can only move forward. To allude back to what I talked about earlier, right? when we have this looking forward thing, that means that we're looking forward to when Christ comes again. And what that means for us is I believe we need to be more serious in our walk with God and how we approach our faith. And one of the fundamental things of that is, are we making a conscious effort to share the gospel, to reach out to those who don't know God yet? Because if we're looking forward to this end time, that means that everyone has had a chance to hear the gospel. That means everyone has had a chance to hear the gospel and be saved. So he calls us to look forward, but at the same time, that means it's very important because God's not coming again until everyone has had a chance to hear the gospel and be saved and to receive Christ. So that means we need to look forward. And a part of that, if I may interpret it, is for us to be serious about our faith, and that is to share the good news, is to bring people unto the Lord, is to bring those who don't know Christ into your community so that they can belong, believe, and behave. That's a thing from last week if you weren't there. But if we can bring people into our community so that they feel belonging, we can share God's word, we can share his goodness. This is a call for every one of us here that we need to look forward and never look back. That means we keep our eyes focused on Christ and not on our past sins, our past inadequacies, our past shortcomings, but to continue to look forward for the good things that Christ has. And in this Christian life, you are going to experience oppression. That's okay. There are going to be moments when you suffer. That's okay. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. But it's not okay to look back. Keep looking forward. Keep pressing on. And God will give you the strength you need. Christ has called you. You have died to sin, and your life is now hidden with God. And in Christ, you've been baptized into his body. You've been adopted into his family and blessed with the rich inheritance that awaits us in the future. Why would you look back on your life of sin? Nothing that you leave behind compares to what lies ahead. Nothing. I just want to encourage you this morning. Look forward. Look forward for the good things Christ has done. Look forward that there will become a time when this world will face destruction, but we will meet our deliverance. Look forward because he gives us the faith, the power to press on. And what can we do? We can show up. Be present. We can exercise our faith because we know that as we look forward, we have to keep in mind that we are called to share his gospel. We are called to bring those that don't know the Lord into our community. We are called to go and make disciples of all nations, right, church? When we put our faith in Jesus, we can look forward to God's future deliverance when he will eradicate this world of sin, evil, and death once and for all. Faith in this hope gives us the power to press on during difficult times. I want to invite those of you who have never put your faith in Jesus, I invite you to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus for what he has done for you on that cross. And if you believe in him, you will be born again. Your old life will be no more. You will be a new person. And there will be no need to look back. And for those of you who are Christian, maybe have kind of been stagnant, not actively practicing your faith or actively living the life that Christ has called you to, I invite you to start exercising your faith again. And faith is not a one-time intellectual assent, but rather it is alive and vibrant. As you start hoping again, as you start believing again, as you start turning and trusting into God's promises, that you will experience a whole new level of intimacy and growth with God. And you will discover that as we've talked about this whole year, that we have a great, that he has a great destiny for you. Every single one of you here. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, afternoon? Father, we're so thankful that you've called us, that you've given us a chance to live eternally with you, given us the place to call home, to show up to devote ourselves unto you. We thank you so much, God, that we can be here, that we can look forward and know our great inheritance lies in front of us. And that we know that our future is secure. Just like in any suspense movie, we may be going through trials, troubles, but we know at the end, you are victorious. At the end, we have a great inheritance, Father. And that's like a cheat code of life, that we know you have won the victory at the end of it all. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we are just encouraged this morning to keep pressing on. We are encouraged this morning to look forward, and as well as looking forward, look to those around us to bring with us forward, to those who don't know you, God, that we can be encouraged to bring them into your kingdom with us, Father. We thank you so much. I just pray you speak to our hearts. Convict us if we have not been living a life that is fully honoring and glorifying unto you. We thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.